Praise you, Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I have eyes that see.
I have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear.
I have ears that hear.
And I have a heart.
And I have a heart.
And it does perceive. That you're talking.
That you're talking.
Constantly.
Constantly.
To me.
So,
I didn't know how this was going to start, but are you ready?
Yes.
The message that I'm listening to, the person is really not that important. It's not about me trying to compare myself to anyone, but what happens is this. You have things that happen to you that you don't understand, sometimes for many, many years. And those of you who came from Grace Church with me certainly remember Cape Allegiate. And so I'm guessing at the year, but I would say it's 1993, 1994, about in that time slot. And we're having intercession on a Friday night before the service. We talked about her, now she is here. So, Kay gets up, comes in front of me. She says, we need to pray for you, or something to that effect. So, I don't remember a lot of the details. I could go back and re-listen to, or read what I wrote at that time. But what's important is this. She starts prophesying that God is about to take me on a trip. And I am going to be remembering zero of the experience. But I will remember returning from this journey or trip. I think she used the word trip. So, I don't know how many weeks went by. That part is not important. But at the time, I'm alone in my bedroom, and I am aware of myself flying like an eagle over the Chicopee River, which is behind my house. And the most dramatic part of the return was I could see, like if you're coming in a plane, the trees are visible on both sides of the landing strip. And they're getting bigger, and you can feel the shaking of the plane as it starts to, you know, de-escalate. And I'm seeing the river very clearly. I'm seeing both sides of the river. There are trees in that area, because I've taken the kids down there many times. Both sides of the river. Then I take a complete left turn, and I go through the window and back into my body. And I have zero memory of anything that took place. So now, of course, I get up, I write down what I can remember. And what I remember is very clear, because it's still clear, because it was so dramatic. So this morning, okay, the man who's giving his testimony is Tom Horn. He has written Petrus Romano, and now he's written a new book, which is, I believe, about an asteroid. And he says he was taken into heaven and he saw a scroll. And when he came back, he did not remember anything of the experience except when he went into his body. That part he remembers. He realized when he was back in his body, his wife was crying, for she had tried to resuscitate him and bring him back to life. He had died. And he said she tried very hard to wake him up, but she was just overwhelmed and crying, and that's what she was experiencing. And he's totally okay. Now, he said, today he understands why he could not remember what he had experienced, because he knows today that this was a protection for him not to fall into pride. Well, if you don't think I put my hat on. There's no pride here, right, Lord? Yeah, right. So, pride from running ahead of God. Pride that the Lord's plan for him was so awesome. And so then he says, I didn't think that was anywhere in the book. But the Lord told him to go to Job chapter 33. So let's go to Job. Now, I have all kinds of arguments about the scriptures in Job. Because Job is a controversial book. But it's still God's word. Okay? If you read a little bit of Job 32, you'll find that it's the youngest guy that's giving advice. So, verse 1. But now, Job, listen to my words. Pay attention to everything I say. I am about to open my mouth. My words are on the tip of my tongue. My words come from an upright heart. My lips sincerely speak what I know. It's important to notice that it's something he has knowledge of. So undoubtedly, he's specifying that he has personal experience here. The Spirit of God has made me, the breath of the Almighty gives me life. That's an incredible statement. Amen. For a young man. Answer me then, if you can. Prepare yourself and confront me. I am just like you before God. I too have been taken from clay. No fear of me should alarm you, nor should my hand be heavy upon you. But you have said in my hearing, I heard the very words, I am pure and without sin. I am clean and free from guilt. That's an incredible statement. But it's the truth for us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Say, it's the truth for me.
It's the truth for me.
I am pure and without sin. Because of the blood of Jesus.
Because of the blood of Jesus.
Romans 5 declares it. I am clean.
I am clean.
And free from guilt.
And free from guilt.
Romans 5:9. I'm justified in the courts of heaven.
Justified in the courts of heaven.
By the blood of Jesus Christ.
By the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Verse 10. Yet God has found fault with me. He considers me his enemy. He fastens my feet in shackles and keeps close watch on all my paths. But I tell you, in this you are not right. For God is greater than man. Why do you complain to him that he answers none of man's words? 14. For God does speak now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. Verse 15 is important. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men, as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ear and terrify them with warnings to turn man from wrongdoing and keep him from pride, to preserve his soul. There's the reason. To preserve his soul from the pit. In the additional words, it says from the grave. His life from perishing by the sword. Or a man may be chastened in a bed of pain with constant distress in his bones, so that his very being finds food repulsive and his soul loathes the choicest meal. His flesh wastes away to nothing, and his bone, once hidden, now stick out. His soul draws near to the pit, and his life to the messenger of death. Yet, if there is an angel on his side, as a mediator, one out of 1,000, to tell a man what is right for him, to be gracious to him and say, spare him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom for him. Then his flesh is renewed like a child's. It is restored as in the days of his youth. He prays to God and finds favor with him. He sees God's face and shouts for joy. He is restored by God to his righteous state. He comes to men and says, I sinned and perverted what was right, but I did not get what I deserve. He redeemed my soul from going down into the pit, and I will live to enjoy light. God does all these things to a man, twice, even three times, to turn back his soul from the pit, that the light of life may shine on him. Pay attention, Job. And listen to me. Be silent, and I will speak. If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak up, for I want to be cleared. But if not, then listen to me. Be silent, and I will teach you wisdom. I think this young man may have had some real revelations to be able to speak to an elder in this fashion. And if you continue to read in the following chapters, you're going to find that the Lord speaks in 38, 39, 40. He also identifies the king of pride. Verse 34 of 41. Chapter 41, verse 34. Well, We better back it up a little bit. Verse 17 says, this is the picture of, in verse 1, can you pull in the Leviathan with a fish hook? This is a spirit.
What chapter are you in, Kim?
41, Job 41, verse 1. Can you pull in the Leviathan with a fish hook or tie down his tongue with a rope? And it gives you all kinds of options there. Verse 17 says, well, verse 8 first. If you lay a hand on him, you will remember the struggle and never do it again. So in other words, there's a price that you will pay. 17 says, they are joined fast to one another. They cling together and cannot be parted. Meaning, his body is so well constructed that you're not going to touch him. Then it says in verse 22, strength resides in his neck. And of course, if you are stiff-necked, that's another piece of the puzzle that you need to be aware of. Someone who's stiff-necked is also a declaration of pride on that individual. But then verse 34 says, he looks down on all that are haughty. He is king over all that are proud. So the spirit of Leviathan exposes you and me when pride is ruling. We think we know. We think we have an awareness. But when you humble yourself, James 4:7 says, humble yourself before the Lord. Resist the devil, he will flee. That includes Leviathan. When I learned about what this thing did, that was in the same season that I had that experience. To this day, I don't know fully what went on in that experience. He has kept it for a day that I believe I'll be able to handle it without pride. Because you see, the intent was to hide it. And I understood that to a degree. But it was the first time that I've ever heard anybody at any point in those 26 or 7 years say they had the same type of experience with the same type of instructions and for the same purpose. And that encouraged me. Because I really was looking and saying, oh, if you only knew, Lord, how you have protected me. How many times did I fall in pride? How many times did I have an attitude? How many times did I have to repent? If I had it all recorded, I don't think there'd be enough paper. Okay? Because I see it, little piece of it here, a little piece of it there. It's horrible. And it comes before a fall. Pride comes before a fall. So when you get to see why he protected you, you have a deeper reference and reverence for him. And his ability to download something into you so that you will be able to carry what he's prepared you to give to whoever you're supposed to minister to for the purposes of his kingdom. Not the purposes of your plan to justify yourself before men or to be elevated by people. His plan for each and every one of us is to have a position in his body. Not that you're supposed to be superior or better or more qualified than this one or that one. It's because every single one of us have a book with our reference, what we are to do, what we are to be a part of, and why we were created and released into this realm. And he knew the whole package before he sent us down. And we had knowledge of who we were in him before the creation of the world. So we've been around spiritually or as spirit beings before the earth was cooled. That you can prove. Now, how does that fit into your emotions and how ugly this one's been to me and how that one has been? It's a test. Will you pass it? Yes. Will you get irritated about people not doing their particulars? Yes. It's designed for you to overcome. Say, the design.
The design.
Is for me.
Is for me.
To become.
To become.
An overcomer.
An overcomer.
Not part-time.
Not part-time.
Full-time.
Full-time.
For his glory.
For his glory.
And the king of pride.
And the king of pride.
He's got something going on here.
He's got something going on here.
And I can see it.
And I can see it.
He is ugly.
He is ugly.
He's called Leviathan.
He's called Leviathan.
And I stand against him.
And I stand against him.
And I say Leviathan.
And I say Leviathan.
The Lord rebuke you.
The Lord rebuke you.
You will not dominate me.
You will not dominate.
You will not abuse me.
You will not abuse me.
And you cannot use me.
And you cannot use me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Our Lord rebuke you.
The Lord rebuke you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
So be it.
So be it.